Maurice, let's talk a little bit, if we can, about those very mysterious lines of Nazca in Peru. Always have fascinated me. You have highlighted them in the Lost Tomb of the Viracocha. Tell us a little bit about your take on these lines.
When I looked at the decoded pictures from Lord Peykal's tomb in Mexico, I was inspired to go down and investigate the stories of the Viracochas, who legend has it walked the lands of South America performing miracles three or four hundred years before Lord Peykal lived in Mexico. And when I got down to Peru, I visited the pyramids at Saipan, where in 1989 the bodies of two men were found, and the archaeologists refer to them as the Lord of Saipan and the Old Lord of Saipan. And they date back to about 300 AD and 400 AD, respectively. And when I started to look at the old stories from the old chronicles, it said that there were two white men, miracle makers, who walked the lands of South America in ancient times, providing miracles, healing the sick with their bare hands, and so on. Again, we had what it seemed to me a repeat of the same old story I'd come across while investigating the previous sun-worshipping civilizations. So what I'd realized with Lord Peykal's information in the Pyramid of Inscriptions, it was clear that Lord Peykal did not want the information to be decoded before the computer arrived, before the advent of the computer in the year 1990 or 2000, in the 20th century. So there was a reason for that. We couldn't decode this information without the computer. So when the computer arrived, I was able to produce the pictures that you now see on the website, but only because the computer was available to help me. In the same way, it seemed to me that the lines of Nazca would never be discovered until we had aircraft to fly above the lines so we could look down on them and we could coherently understand what the pictures were. And the pictures, there are various pictures. One, for example, they're about 50 meters wide and high. They're very long pictures in the desert basin, are created by the oxidization of pebbles on the basin, which turns the pebbles brown from their naturally white color. And what's happened in the past is somebody scraped away the surface pebbles to reveal the white pebbles underneath. And this is how the line drawings of Nazca were made, by scraping away these lines, raking them away, and revealing patterns underneath. And it's the subject matter of the patterns, the way they were done, and what they are, which tells us who did them and why they were done. For example, there's a large picture of a monkey holding over what looks like three pyramids, and one of the fingers of the monkey's hand is missing. Now, monkey was an ancient symbol for sun-worshipping civilizations, which represented a means of communication, talking, writing, and so on. The same happened with Happy the baboon in Egypt and so on.
Right.
So we're told immediately that this is a form of early writing.
Now, didn't Eric von Däniken, though, claim that, like you just said, planes, I think he claims that it was made for extraterrestrial visitations.
Well, of course he did, but extraterrestrial or otherwise, you've still got to be above them in order to see them.
That's true.
And that's the point I'd like to raise. Now, some of the pictures were of birds with long necks like snakes. So here again, we had the feathered snake, just as we had with Tutankhamun, just as we had with Lord Peykal and all the other civilizations of China. We had the dragon, which is a combination of a bird, a snake, and a stag. It's the same metaphor again, and there's a reason why they use these metaphors. Other pictures show, for example, a frigate bird, and the frigate bird is a bird which puffs off its pouch beneath its chest, on its chest, when it's mating, only when it's mating. So the frigate bird, the presence of the frigate bird, showed us that somebody wanted to tell us about fertility. There was another picture of a spider, and a particular type of spider, which has its genitalia on the end of a long extension on a sac, and the ranicula, the spider's called. And again, it teaches us about fertility on Earth. So we have two common factors here. We have the oxidization of the pebbles, which is caused by ultraviolet light. That tells us about the sun. We have The Feathered Snake, which tells us about Lord Peikal, the feathered snake, the perfect being, spirit and body. And we have fertility. And we have more pictures of fertility in Nazca. We have whales and killer whales showing the birth of baby whales. We have the hummingbird, a picture of a hummingbird. And the hummingbird is the only bird which can fly forwards and backwards. In other words, it goes forwards and backwards in time. Just as human beings go forward and backwards in time, they are reincarnated. This is what the ancients believe. There's a large picture of a labyrinth, and the labyrinth is constructed from its initial stages from a simple cross, a Christian cross, with a few dots around it, and you can construct a labyrinth. All this is explained in The Lost Tomb of Viracocha. So the information tells us again that it's the same information, how the sun affects life on Earth, how it controls fertility, how the feathered snake is important. And clearly, Viracocha means foam of the sea. So I considered, why did they say that this guy in the pyramid, one of them was called Viracocha, the other one was called Viracocha Pachacamac, which means god of the world. Why would they say this? And in fact, in one of those tombs, the occupant of the tomb is shown as a 2-foot anthropomorphic creature of half crab, half man. It's a crab with a man's face. Now, why would they show themselves like this? So I considered the possibilities. And it seemed to me that when we are in the foam of the sea, paddling in the ocean with our Wellingtons on, our rubber boots on, then that's the only moment that we're in touch with all of the elements, the earth, the air, the fire, the water. For example, if we go towards the water, we lose contact with the earth. And if we step onto the beach, we lose contact with the water. So it seemed to me that the perfect being had the sunshine in his face, the wind in his hair, the water above his feet, and the earth beneath his feet. So the perfect being lived in the foam of the sea.